Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we have taken a break from our normal, regularly scheduled deep dive into the careers of wrestlers because we watched a lot of wrestling in person last weekend.
So much wrestling in person.
I got the Philly flu coming out of WrestleMania 40, so we were down for the count this week, and so that means we're not watching any new stuff. We're just talking about wrestling as it stands. So this week is going to be a deep dive into the year ahead in professional wrestling. What do we think is going to happen 2024? What do we see happening? What are our predictions? What are our bold predictions? What are things that we would just like to see happen? We're going to just talk about the state of wrestling. Because here's the thing. When we started this podcast in 2020, wrestling was in kind of a bad place.
It wasn't
great.
Good.
And so we had talked about like, this is how we still get our wrestling fix is we get to talk about wrestlers from the past and we're not going to change. We're still going to watch wrestlers through five of the most important matches every week. However,
we'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming next week.
However, wrestling's pretty good.
Wrestling's awesome. And I know WrestleMania is like the pinnacle of wrestling in America every year.
Yeah.
At least it should be.
And it was.
And it absolutely was. We were there for both nights. And if you want a recap on that, we put an episode up about it very quickly last week.
Yeah, we were delirious. We had been up till 3 a.m. every night of WrestleMania weekend, including one when we did not need to be because we wanted to stay up to watch Rush Hour 1. Instead of any wrestling event.
And I stayed up even longer than Evan did because I had to watch qualifying for F1. It was just...
I don't understand F1 qualifying. It's just them going around in the same track they're going to go tomorrow. Anyways, I don't get it. I don't understand.
Set the grid.
I know what it's for. I just don't know why people watch it. I don't get it.
Because I want to know what the order is for the... Also, Cargo Vroom.
Cardugo Vroom. You should also be checking us out on social media, at Crossbody of Work, on Instagram, on Twitter. Be like Samantha Irvin and like our reels. Yeah. Highlight of my day.
Hey, Miss Irvin.
She's so good at her job.
She's awesome.
So yeah, we're going to be talking about WrestleMania. We're going to be talking about the state of WWE. We'll talk a little. You know what? Let's dive into this first. The day that we are recording is the day after Dynamite, where they aired the CM Punk All In footage. I need your hot take, your opinion on airing the footage, Javier.
My hot take is not a hot take. It's the same take that seemingly everyone has.
Everybody's got it.
It's so stupid.
What a bad idea.
Now, if you want to know my real hot take for this, it's what the fuck was Jack Perry doing with his hair? He was like playing with his hair for half the conversation until Punk like chokes him out. Like
we all have our nervous ticks.
Just there like, what? And then also Hook's just in the background like.
I'm not sure that Hook wasn't mewing. I'm pretty sure that's what he was doing back there.
I'll tell you right now, if I'm in that situation, I am a Hook. I am just looking back and forth like, I'm not getting involved, but this is so fun.
I'm Chris Hero, where I'm just like exasperated, like, fuck, why did this happen? What does this decision do to the perception of Tony Khan?
Oh, it absolutely tanks it. Like, tanks it. 100%, because this is 100% his call. Like, the Young Bucks agreed to it and went along with it, sure. But this was a Tony Khan call, 100%. I don't 100%. Care what the dirt sheets say. I don't care what the reports that come out say. It's 100% Tony Khan's thing. He got in his feelings about the Punk comments. And so he decided, oh, I'm going to do this to make sure that he looks terrible. Which, by the way, this doesn't make Punk look any worse.
It lines up pretty well with what he said happened.
Not even just that. It lines up exactly with what we know of the situation.
Yeah.
Based off of numerous, you know, reports and also what Punk said. Like, there's a middle ground between the two, and this is where it was.
This is where it was.
Like, it's so dumb. Everything about it is dumb. I can't believe they actually did it. It's cool that they tied it in with the FTR story and all this other stuff, but, like, I say it's cool because, like, oh, it's creative that they did that. But more so, it's just so stupid. Like, the Will Ospreay thing, too, where Will Ospreay, like, responded to Triple H's comments about running from the grind. I thought Will Ospreay's promo was excellent. The entire thing, including the retort. Including the retort. I did not... I watched a lot of Will Ospreay before he got to AEW. I knew he was a good promo. I didn't realize he was as good a promo as he actually is. Because I think really good.
There has been a marked improvement in his promo ability. For those of us who have known him since, like, the Rev Pro WCPW was my first introduction to him.
Vader feud.
Yeah, like that era to now, he's an incredible promo now.
Yeah, the difference is he's not 20, he's like 28.
Yeah. I think the Tony Khan thing is, I was somebody as a kid where I only wanted to do something if I was good at it right away, right? And then I would struggle when I lost. And Tony Khan in AEW was good right away because, as we talked about when we started the podcast, wrestling needed an alternative. And AEW was fresh and they were running on all cylinders. They had a lot of big hits and the big debuts were awesome. And now WWE is in a really good place too. And AEW has detractors and there are problems and there are things people can point to and say, like, hey, this isn't as good, or this has never really come to fruition. And I don't think Tony does well with being told he's not as good.
Yeah.
He doesn't like losing. He's going to take his ball and go home.
It sucks because I really, really, really wanted to believe. Like, there were signs of this being the case pretty early on with the promotion, with the way that Tony, like, I think it really popped up a couple years ago when he really started going hard at Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon and Triple H over stuff, like tampering stuff. I understand it. Like, yeah. I can understand his gripes with the other side, with the people who have wronged him and all this other stuff. But at the same time, he is the owner of the company. Like, he needs to get his shit together because he's the one that has to be the professional one. He's the one that can't, like, let the chinks in the armor come up. That is the job of the wrestlers. Like, those are the people that do it because they can be punished. They can be like that can be corrected. When the owner's the one doing it, there is no one to keep him in check. He is the owner. If he said what he says goes on all fronts. So it's like, it sucks.
It's obviously not the same because the culture is not the same. But the same way, like, no one could check Vince McMahon. Like, if you are where the buck stops, nobody's going to be able to really keep you in check but yourself. And so if you want to do certain things, it's just going to be the way you do it.
Yeah. And it's not like Shad Khan is going to be like, hey, I don't like that you did that.
No, because he's too busy making sure the Jags are mediocre.
He's also too busy just being a freaking billionaire, you know?
Tony Khan, the richest person I've ever seen with my own eyes. All right. I have a random set of questions for us to talk about what the future of WWE looks like for 2024 and AEW. Let's talk about Cody. Finish the story at WrestleMania 40. What a great time. And here's the thing with all wrestling, it never ends. New stories start right up. And so now we're in the story of Cody's title reign. I want to know, how long do you think Cody's title reign will be? And do you think you have a guess as to who will be the one to end it?
I don't. That's the weird thing about Cody is, like, I could genuinely see him holding the title until WrestleMania next year or something.
So that
like
was going to be I was going to give you an over-under, which is a year. Do you think his title reign goes over or under a year?
I want to say that it does, but at the same time, like, are we sure that's a great idea after we just spent 3.5 years with one guy having the belt? Like, I understand longer title reigns are now, you know, especially for the world titles, are hopefully going to become a new norm.
Yeah.
Not like stupidly long, like over 1,000 days.
Not 1,300 days, no.
We're not going to get 13 days, 2 months title reigns unless there's a story like alongside it. You know, Damian Priest obviously cashed in on Drew McIntyre, who only held the belt for like 3.5 minutes.
But he spent that whole time making fun of Punk, which is worth it.
Yeah, but there's a story element to that. Like, that makes sense. It's not just like hotshotting the title to hotshot the title. I think I could see him going a year. As far as who takes the belt off of him, I don't know. I think that the best answer for that happens with the draft, because if there is a certain Austrian masquerading as a German individual who finds his way onto the Cody side of things, there is a show in a big show in Berlin that
in August
might come into play here, especially you know, if the story goes how I think the story goes throughout the summer and into the later second half of the year. I think it's very possible that Gunther, if he ends up on the same brand as Cody, could be the guy that might take it from him pre-WrestleMania.
Yeah. I think it's under a year. I think they go under a year. I think they try to build towards Cody again challenging for the title at WrestleMania, which I think is totally fine. The story's in the hunt. The story's not in a babyface being the champion forever.
Austin never held it for a long time.
No,
Cena's longest reign was long, but...
But other than that, they were all pretty short.
By the end of it, people were like, brother.
The story's always in the chase, right? And so I think we're going to get that again. I think Gunther is 100% the man for it. If not, Drew, in this iteration, I have no problem with that.
He hasn't resigned, by the way.
He has not resigned as a recording. I also think it's weird. After those two, there's a field that I don't really see any one person coming out of it right now.
I just want to see where the pieces fall with the draft.
In the draft, yeah.
I think that really...
But here's the thing. We're prognosticating. We're going ahead. We're just taking big predictions. So,
Kevin Cody,
Owens. Kevin Owens. I like it. Heel Randy?
Heel Randy. I, for the longest time, thought that Heel Randy and Cody was going to be the SummerSlam main event, but no more.
What do you think is going to be the SummerSlam main event? Do you think they go Rock Cody?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Rock Cody.
And do you think Roman gets involved?
I do, and I think that that's what leads to Cody retaining is like a Roman error or something. Maybe accidentally spears the Rock again or something like that. And then we get the bloodline turning on Roman, because I think we're going to get babyface Roman headed into next WrestleMania, where one of the two main events is likely to be Rock versus Roman.
And you think Roman's going to be the babyface for that?
I do. I think it's time.
I do too.
I think it's time.
I think we've had so much Roman as a heel. This is such a weird thing that we do as wrestling fans, where when somebody's just been good as a heel for so long, they like have earned credit to be cool as a babyface. Like now when Roman turns babyface, we're all going to be like, yeah, like you've been awesome for years, man. Like that's great. Like you got a cool gimmick and you look good. Bayley just did it. And it happens for years. It happens throughout wrestling history where eventually we're like, yeah, that heel's actually pretty cool. You know what? You're our guy. Like, weirdly, we did this with Dolph Ziggler, where for years Dolph was just the show off and he was an asshole. And then we're like, but he's our asshole. And so, obviously, and also Rock is Hollywood. Rock is the TKO board. Like, Rock as a heel is so great.
For as popular as The Rock is, I don't see, you know, for this run, to be fair, who knows how long this run goes for The Rock as far as like, you know, obviously, I don't think he's going to stick around. And be, you know,
he's filming a movie next
or whatever. But like, who knows how long it is? Like, does he show up, you know, do like 2-3 matches a year, maybe just the WrestleMania match for the next like 5 years? Or is it just this year, next year, maybe, or into next year and after WrestleMania, he's done? Like, you know, we don't know what the length of The Rock's run is going to be. But I just think that it's hard to tell the next phase of the Tribal Chief character without Roman being the good guy. Because I think now that he's been conquered, now that he... Honestly, the thing that makes me want him as a babyface the most is the fact that he did get the chair shot onto Seth Rollins to close the match. Because that's like, okay, he has exhausted that demon. He got that revenge. He sees in his mind that it's still messing with him. And he had to do it. But it cost him the belt. So, like, you know, I kind of want to see this emotionally conflicted side of Roman, like, moving out of this. And when you're emotionally conflicted like that, it kind of just tends to lean more towards the babyface side.
People can empathize with you.
Plus, we got Jacob Fatu.
It's true. So we have more people for the bloodline, which is exciting. I rewatched the 6-minute video of all the returns in the main event for WrestleMania Night 2. That I was taking.
I rewatched the entirety of WrestleMania Night 2.
I haven't rewatched it. So I was rewatching it, the clip I have on my phone, and two things stand out. One is how loud you are when John Cena comes out.
I lost my mind.
You left your body. And two is the second that Roman hit Seth with the chair, I just yell out,
lost your mind.
I just yell out, people don't forget. And it's true. People don't forget, man. It's been 10 years. Roman's like, this son of a... Roman holds a grudge, and I appreciate that him about that. That about him.
Hey, I respect a petty tribal chief.
Yes. Yes.
Because we all petty down low.
Yes. Be miserable. All right. So on one side, we have Cody winning the title. On the other side for the men, Damian Priest with the cash in and Rhea Ripley with the retain. Even though the Judgment Day lost their tag titles, they still come out of WrestleMania holding two belts. What's next overall for what is WWE's most important stable?
I'm curious to see what they do here because I think that this, you know, Seth's going away for a while.
Yep.
Punk is on the shelf right now. Like, I don't think Cody's moving to Raw, at least not until like a draft down the line because the Netflix deal doesn't kick in until January.
Which means that we have Damian Priest as the number.
I should say, I don't consider him, I don't think Cody's staying on Raw. I think he's now moving to SmackDown.
Yeah. So that means we have Damian Priest running the ship, essentially.
Yeah. And for as, you know, the Judgment Day are heels, and that's great and all this stuff. Like, they're really good at what they do. I think there's a lot of money that could be made in turning Damian Priest babyface.
Like, is it against Finn? Like,
I think it's Finn against him. I think Finn is great as a babyface, obviously. But keeping Finn as a heel where he's better, yeah. I would say.
So Finn stays with Judgment Day then?
I would say there's like a civil war that starts up between the two of them.
Okay.
Finn's getting jealous over the title, stuff like that. JD obviously sides with Finn.
Obviously.
And then Rhea is just kind of torn between the two. And I honestly, I would love to tell you that I would love to see a Rhea Ripley babyface turn. But that kind of doesn't go along with what I think one of the WrestleMania main events is next year.
Which is, so, isn't Rhea Bianca?
It's Rhea Bianca.
Yeah, okay.
You can't turn Bianca.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Have you seen their TV show, Bianca and Montez?
They're so great.
They're the most likable people I've ever.
So great. I want to hang out with them.
I want to hang out with them so bad.
They're so cool.
They're so friendly. I hate it. Because I kind of wanted them to, like, I don't know, not be monsters, but like,
I wanted them to be a heel thing. Like, Montez turns, he's his own man, and Bianca's there with him, and they're both just like Tez goes and gets the IC belt or something, makes himself a big singles guy.
But mainly, Bianca, I now want them to be what Becky and Seth were when they won the titles when they were baby faces.
Yes, now I want them to just be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. God. So in this world, Rhea stays heel. Like, essentially, it would be.
Yeah, Rhea Damian and Dom stay heel. Damian just gets ousted out the group. Maybe he I don't know, he flounders or a little bit to find help around him because it's the Bayley conundrum again where nobody wants to help him.
Yeah. Everybody's gone against you for years.
No. Maybe it's one of those things where he works on the group one by one until, I don't know, let's say full baby face turn by like Survivor Series or something. Or man, let's call it SummerSlam. SummerSlam is him against Finn. I would like to see him keep the title by that point, but who knows? It's clear that Drew and Punk isn't going to be for
the belt. They don't need the title, no.
Maybe Seth comes back by then, because I don't know if he was selling or not, but Seth Rollins is not healthy.
Apparently, so that was one of the questions I had too, which is like, what do we do with Becky and Seth at this point? Seth apparently needs time off for his knee. Becky apparently is planning to take some time off as well. So what do we do with them when they come back? Becky weirdly feels like she is either, we so desperately need that, like, North America, we need a mid-card title on the women's roster so bad, because WWE still struggles to tell stories that are not related to either large groups breaking up or the women's title. They do not know what to do otherwise. So I think Becky would be great to, like, essentially do the U.S. Open Challenge that John Cena did, but with Becky Lynch. That kills 6 months and has great matches.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult. Because the problem is, how do you justify putting that title on one show and not the other? like putting a mid-card title on one show. Because
you should
other.
Put the tag titles on the other and really, really, really care about your tag titles.
Yeah, but they're weird.
They are weird.
They're weird. The company, not the titles.
Yeah, that's what I meant too. Is the company yeah. is weird about tag titles.
Like I don't know. I mean, circling back to the Priest thing, I want to say that he can keep the title for a lengthy time period here, but I could absolutely see him dropping it to Finn, and then Finn drops it to Punk, or I could see him dropping it, staying heel, dropping it to Punk. I do think that the next up is Punk, and then it goes, if Drew resigns, goes back to Drew.
Yeah.
And then I think that leads to Sami Zayn next year.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I think Becky Lynch and Rollins, like, what do they do next is the big question.
Yeah,
Judgment
that's
Day,
tough.
Judgment Day is going to rule the roost for a while. I'm excited for a long list of, like, one-off Damian Priest challengers. Like, I think Jey Uso is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple other baby faces. Like, I think Kevin Owens versus Damian Priest for a title sounds nice. I think Randy Orton versus Damian Priest for a title sounds nice. Like, there's some options.
Yeah, I think for Seth specifically, I want him to get away from the Bloodline. So wherever the Bloodline and Cody are, put him on the opposite side.
Yeah. And then Becky.
Becky's interesting because if we're not bringing that mid-card title back, I'd keep her out for a long time.
Yeah, give her some time. Let her hang out with
Rue. Give her some time. Stay until after SummerSlam or something like that. Like, see what the landscape of the women's divisions are by that point, and then just kind of Charlotte Flair her, bring her back in it, like at a random spot. Not Charlotte Flair her, like bring her back and then put the title within 24 hours on it. More so like bring her
that
back
is the
and
Charlotte
then,
Flair.
Bring her back and then put her in something, you know, whether yeah. that be by then you have some NXT call-ups and let's say Roxanne Perez or something like that is up. Like maybe Roxy's a heel still, put her up against Becky for a little yeah. bit. Or Tiffany Just Stratton, like
give
us
some more
that.
Give us some more space to tell stories for the women's wrestlers that are not
yes.
about titles.
Yes.
Because
or
there are,
like stupid things like you're trying to sleep with my husband.
Yeah. In terms of the titles that were won at WrestleMania, which do you think is the first to change hands?
Oh.
So in terms of new titles, there was, of course, the tag titles got split, Awesome Truth and A-Town Down Under. There was Bayley winning the women's title. There was Cody winning the world title. There was
yeah.
Priest becoming world champion. There was Sammy becoming IC champion. And then, of course, you have like Logan Paul retaining the U.S. title. You have Rhea retaining her women's title. Things like that.
I could see Sammy being the first of the singles titles.
I agree. In a multi-man or something? Or like
yeah,
he's,
just
or
like
he's
something
hurt
out
and
of
he's
his
a fighting
control.
Champion? Yeah.
Because he's just like, yeah, he something where
takes
he's
on
like
all
storyline injured. He just, it's like the Orange Cassidy story where he's just beaten down to the point of no return.
And then he loses to a heel Chad Gable. Yes.
Quizás. I like
yes.
it.
Yes.
I think it'll be one of the tag titles. Probably Awesome Truth. Like,
yeah.
Know,
Awesome Truth screams, screams like, a, aren't we happy it happened? And then like, remember that it happened and then they lose them.
I think A-Town Down Under keeps it for a while because I think they hold it as long as Logan Paul has his title, which I think Logan Paul is going to be the U.S. champion heading into SummerSlam because it's in his hometown of Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
So I could now that I think about it, I could also see the Awesome Truth holding the titles until Cleveland because of The Miz.
No, in terms of like, it all depends on the draft. You know what tag team that doesn't have a set of titles I think will have them soon is Pretty Deadly.
Yes.
I think if they're on the same brand as Awesome Truth, those titles are not long for Miz and R-Truth's waists.
I love Pretty Deadly.
They're so entertaining.
I just want him to do something.
Yes.
Just give him something to do.
Like the tag division right now is chock full of talent. It's a good tag division. There's lots to do.
Tell stories. You got the Creed Brothers on the main roster and they've barely done anything.
Creed Brothers, New Catch Republic, DIY, New Day. There's, you know, eventually the Viking Raider Warrior people are going to be back together again.
Ivar's in NXT.
Ivar's balling right now. Shout out to Ivar.
Obafemi?
Can we also talk about how at Stand and Deliver, they were like, yeah, the Wolf Dogs, they retained the titles. Great. And then they just,
yeah.
2 days later, like, ah, actually, Nathan Frazier and Axiom, you win the titles.
Yeah, never mind. Never mind that one, actually.
What the fuck is that?
Shawn Michaels, that's what that is. That was dumb, but I do think that it has to happen because Bron Breakker is getting the call up.
It did have to happen. I am also thrilled though because it did make me win our prediction series for the weekend.
So stupid.
Just because they decided to do it on the Tuesday.
Is that the one match that split us?
No. I also
I think you cooked me this weekend.
No, I also had the up on you because of Bayley versus EO. That was and Sammy versus Gunter. Those were the two that I got on you.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I mean, I got you in the ladder match, but I still hate it.
Yeah, we split Awesome Truth.
Yeah, but I got A-Town Down Under.
You did. You did. I wish it was a Motor City Machine.
Yeah. But... I mean, if I had to guess for what champion drops it first, my guess is still going to be Sammy. But I could see it being Awesome Truth pretty quickly.
I think if I'm putting like FanDuel odds on this, I'm putting Sammy at like plus 105 odds. And I'm putting Awesome Truth at like plus 130 or 140. And then gets a lot higher.
Sammy's 135. I would say Awesome Truth is 140. It's really close.
They're close? Okay. Oh, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Let's take a quick break from the you know, championships, whatever. Let's talk about money and the draw of going to WWE or AEW. Who do you think is the next person to switch companies either direction? Oh, who goes to
Julia.
WWE or who goes to AEW from the dub?
Huh. It's not Sheamus because we got some stuff about Sheamus coming back this week.
I got so hyped seeing that pale bastard on TV.
It's not so excited. On TV.
Yeah.
But just not in a wrestling context.
No, I still got so excited though.
Didn't know he was a Liverpool fan, by the way. Screw you, Sheamus. fucking Irish. What are you doing? that's tough. I would say, I mean, of the people who are rumored in AEW to have contracts coming up soon, I think Ricky Starks is the most prominent of the bunch.
He was there.
We saw him.
We saw Ricky Starks
in the booth.
We could see Ricky Starks.
He's right there. It's just in that direction.
Chiseled fella. I think it's Ricky Starks. Though I just saw something on Twitter as we were recording this that apparently WWE has interest in Hook. Because Hook's contract is up at the end of the year.
Well, if I'm Hook, I honestly probably consider that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think Hook should go. They treat him like gold in AEW, like as far as like the way he's booked.
Presentation, yeah.
We got to do something about this Jericho thing because that's got to stop immediately. But
why,
yeah,
is,
I mean,
why is Jericho Mother Gothel from Tangled? Just
I don't
like,
know, but I hate it.
It's gonna take all the energy from you.
I hate it, but also like you know he's not gonna get the Action Bronson song in WWE. He's gonna get some stupid Def Revel or whatever the hell their name is.
It's gonna be just the exact Obafemi theme, but everyone says Hook instead. Who do you think would go from WWE to AEW?
So I mean, Drew McIntyre is still technically on the table because
I just don't see it happening.
Becky hasn't re-signed either, but I don't see that happening.
I was trying to think of like some people, and I'm like, you know, certain people just feel like WWE for good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be someone who's like unhappy and also would just say fuck it for the love of the game. Like I want to wrestle.
That's true.
I gotta stop thinking about top people because it's not gonna be a top person. Honestly, I don't know what his contract situation's like, but I could see Noam Dar possibly.
Oh, from the metaphor,
yeah, because he is not used very well. Dexter Loomis. He's not an AEW guy. He's not going to AEW if he leaves. I don't know. I think it's more so AEW people going to WWE as much as WWE people going to AEW because I don't really know of many people in WWE who are at the level that jumping ship to AEW would work.
Yeah.
You know, like most of them are at a level where it's like they'll go to TNA.
Yeah. Like is Cameron Grimes going to show up in AEW or would he go to TNA?
Yeah, he's going to go to TNA. He's going to go to
beat Trevor Lee. Yeah.
Like, he's not going to do that. Like, so yeah, I would say it's more so going from AEW to WWE. And if, I mean, my number one pick for that would be Ricky Starks.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, the women's division? I don't see anybody in WWE wanting to jump ship to AEW.
They're also so young and recent.
Yeah.
Like, within the last couple of years signed. Also, they're not bringing in a lot of, like, indie talent anymore.
No, they really slowed down on that.
Like, it's really a lot of people they've built up through the Performance Center, through Shawn Michaels' Explore page.
I love that joke because it's so true. He's just scouting volleyball players.
Listen, I don't know where he found Jada Parker, but bless his soul.
Shawn Michaels can't open Instagram at dinner. Like, that's a true fact. Can't
open
fact.
It in public either.
That's a true fact. That man's just got an unimpeachable For You page.
Yes, but he's cooking right now. And he's in a great spot. I think so, at least.
It is. And I'm excited with all the new directions that came last Tuesday. Like, yeah. I think it looks really good. Obafemi, Ivar's going to be...
It's
going to be beefy.
I'm excited to see, you know, Trick Williams and Ilya Dragunov is probably in the next step for that world title. But I'm excited to see where that how that goes, where that how that story is told. I'm excited for everything, man. Heel Roxanne cooking out there. You know, the tag titles are now on two Speedy Boys. I like speedy, fast tag champions because it reminds me of London and Kendrick, who are one of my favorite tag teams when I was a kid.
Yep. We're going to switch gears again and go with an AEW focus. Obviously, Dynasty is coming up in 10 days as of recording. We will do predictions for Dynasty. We'll throw them on our YouTube channel at Crossbody of Work, of course. Double or Nothing is, of course, the biggest show of the year for AEW. However, mentally, in my brain, that kind of has been replaced by All In England. And this year it's at Wembley. I want to know, what do you think the main event of AEW All In 2024 is going to be?
And it's I wish I could tell you.
Will Ospreay versus whom?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you it's for the title, but I think Swerve's winning the title this weekend.
I think he is too, and I'm gonna feel very vindicated.
Yeah, I feel like Swerve's gonna win the title at Dynasty, so he's obviously the biggest babyface in the company right now. Probably, if not the biggest, he's right there with Ospreay. But I could see for All In if they don't go fully into the, you know, the babyface push for Ospreay to push him towards the world title by that point. I could see him just having the match against Okada that should be going to Kenny.
We are on the same wavelength because when I was thinking about everything, I was like, who would be in this spot? And I was like, it's going to be Ospreay versus somebody. It's not going to be for the title because I think the title's going to be on Swerve. Yeah, not going to do Ospreay Swerve. So I looked at the roster. I'm like, the only thing that makes sense in terms of like the money match is the Rainmaker. It's to have Okada versus Ospreay.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him doing that. Honestly, I could see a cheeky little feud with Edge. If Edge decides to turn heel, or Adam Copeland, if Adam Copeland decides to turn
heel.
He's
Edge. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, stuff, something like that. That could be a big match. We're already going through the Danielson thing. Moxley, probably not. I don't know if that's going to be a headlining type of match. But no. I think Windy City Riot, the New Japan show, is this weekend, right, coming up. As of the time of recording. And it's going to be Naito against Moxley for the IWGP World Heavyweight title. I think Moxley's going to win.
Okay.
And I think his reign only goes until Forbidden Door. But should it go a little after that, I think a cheeky little IWGP title match at All In would be cool. I don't think that's the main event, though, if that happens. I could also see, you know, if we're not headlining with Ospreay, there's a certain devil that's on the mend right now with a little injury. I could see Adam Cole against Swerve main eventing that pay-per-view.
I like that. I like that too. And just because I'm here, you know what? Let's do a little quiz time. Little impromptu quiz. There are 11 wrestlers who have the most pay-per-view matches all time in AEW. Give me as many of them as
they're
you can get.
They're all tied?
No, they're not all tied, but all time. Oh. There's two tied in first place, and then there's nine more.
So Moxley
is sitting at eighth by himself with 21 appearances.
Eighth?
Eighth.
Orange Cassidy
is tied for ninth. So he's at the bottom at 18.
The Bucks
are tied for first, 26.
Okay, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Don't know how I feel about that one. MJF
is tied for third with 24.
Jungle Boy
is sitting in that tie for ninth with 18.
Darby
is tied for fifth with 23.
Jericho
tied for third with 24. So you're only missing you're only missing three people.
Is Eddie Kingston on there?
No.
Okay. Three people. Not one person, Danielson.
No, one person with 23, one person with 22, one person with 18.
Britt Baker.
No women are on this list.
No women, of course.
Of course. AEW.
Christian? Kenny. Nope. Kenny Omega.
Kenny is in seventh by himself with 22.
Hangman.
Is tied with Darby with 23, so there's only one person you're missing. They last.
Where are they ranked?
What's that?
Where are they on the
list?
They
are tied for ninth, so they're tied with Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy.
Sting.
They last wrestled at Wrestle Dream 2023 on pay-per-view.
That's tough. I don't even remember that pay-per-view. FTR?
No, they recently had a marquee match on a Collision with Adam Copeland.
Penta?
Penta.
Wow.
Penta has 18 pay-per-view matches.
Good for him.
Good for him. Good for Penta. He's out there grinding. All right.
You got them all.
You did. You did. A couple strikes, but that's fine.
That's fine.
It's fine. I want to know your predictions for who during the year will be Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank 2024.
That's tough. God damn you. I don't think there should be.
I think we should take a break from it for a year.
Yes.
And I know it's Toronto's pay-per-view, and I know that's the one I'm most likely to go to events that weekend. However, I think we need a break from the gimmick just for a little bit.
Yeah, just give me a year. Or just push it off to the end of the year or something.
Well, because then that lines up too closely with the Rumble, which is weird.
Guess, but
I think that'd be weird to have them like near
each other. A Survivor Series thing.
But like looking around at the roster, like who fits the, like, do you just go with established people this year for the Money in the Banks, or do you like, yeah, on the women's side, do you go with Tiff? Because I think Tiffany Stratton would be great for Money in the Bank.
Tiffany Stratton makes a lot of sense.
I think she's probably like the only like newer person on the roster that I want to give the briefcase
here's the
to.
Thing, I don't know if I want it to be someone new like that, because then we have the expectations that within a year she
their
might
world
be
champion.
Champion, and I don't love that.
So do we instead go with more established people this year? Because every once in a while WWE seems to go like, all right, we're going to go with the established hands for the Money in the Banks.
You know what? Actually, I'm gonna be a little ballsy with my picks.
All right.
I want someone who's going to get the briefcase and call their shot.
Okay.
Like, oh, we're doing this and we're going to do it on X date at like X pay-per-view.
Okay.
Give me Gunther.
Because he would. He absolutely would call a shot. Yeah.
And I'm thinking he calls a shot for
Bash of Berlin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's going to be. Or when's the Money in the Bank? Is it like the end of May or something?
Beginning of July, I believe.
Oh, so it's after Clash at the Castle, so it's not going to be Drew?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So give me Gunther and let me do a call your shot type deal where he's like, all right, I'm cashing this in at Berlin. And then for the women, I don't know, babyface. Who's a babyface? give me
Bianca.
I would like it, but I would hate it as well because I don't like that.
You could go.
Ooh, maybe.
You could go returning Becky. You could go. Live again.
I like the situation.
Live the briefcase a second time.
I like the situation we're in with the champions, so I don't see either one of the champions losing relatively soon.
You could do a surprise Maxxine Dupri.
I could see the women's person being a loser. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I want it to be a babyface.
Yeah, and then they cash in on Rhea and they lose.
Let me get, yeah, something like that. So, like, Liv Morgan, I guess being a two-time winner makes sense. Maybe a Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
Who's a heel right now, but also, like, you know, maybe she tries to cash in on Bayley if they switch her brands around and it doesn't work out. Or maybe it does. I would love a Candice LeRae title run.
You know who it shouldn't be?
Maxxine Dupri?
Well, aside from that, Jade Cargill. Don't do it. Don't. I understand she is a rock star. I get it. Do not push it this fast. People will be clamoring for it. You will have booked yourself into a corner. You know who else I wouldn't hate is any other member of Damage Control to then try to go off against Bayley. I have no problem with that.
Dakota Kai little.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Was a Dakota Kai.
I would like a Dakota Kai serious run. You know what else I wouldn't hate as well? Charlotte Flair coming back. I don't know what her timeline is with her injury, but Charlotte Flair coming back, getting the briefcase, and then just like saying, I will cash this in advance against Bayley and having Bayley retain. I think that would be really cool. And there would be a big moment for Bayley.
The first thing is that Charlotte's not going to be back till September.
Never mind.
Yeah, she's out for a while.
Never mind. I don't remember when she got hurt is why.
It's very end of the year.
Okay. Yeah. So never mind on that one. Maybe if Becky. Honestly, if Becky goes away and comes back for Money in the Bank, maybe Becky wins. And instead of cashing in on Rhea, we finally get the Bayley Becky match that like means something. Becky loses or whatever. I don't know.
In terms of
Dakota Kai is my pick, though. I like that Dakota Kai pick.
So Dakota Kai, the official Money in the Bank pick of Crossbody of Work.
Yes.
I like the Gunta pick. Another guy who I could see calling his shot, and it would be different in a way, but I just also think he'd be great as Mr. Money in the Bank, is Kevin Owens. I think he would be really good with the briefcase.
Yes. I think Kevin Owens' heel turn would be real nice, too.
Thank you. Even if he's babyface, Kevin Owens is never fully babyface because he's always an asshole, and I think that works perfectly with being Mr. Money in the Bank because he could easily cash in at any given moment.
I need a Kevin Owens gambling addiction storyline so we can get the prize fighter back.
So you need him to have an interpreter? Like, he just starts speaking exclusively in French, and he gets an interpreter?
Wait, I got this. Okay.
Okay, cook.
Let me cook. I need someone who is a international superstar.
Akira Tozawa.
Give me Akira Tozawa. No. Give me Shinsuke Nakamura with Kevin Owens, like, friends, right?
Yeah.
And then he's, like, his interpreter. That's what Kevin is. He's been to Japan a couple of times. He knows a little bit of Japanese. So he's the interpreter, but he's spending all of Shinsuke's money to cover up debts. And then boom, Kevin Owens getting arrested. Kevin Owens now a heel. He has to win Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. I also could see him doing that with like Dragon Lee or something.
I think I know where to go with that.
It'd be funny if it was with somebody who did know how to speak English and then he just was like translating for somebody who's clearly speaking English. I think that'd be funnier. It's like him and Jinder. Oh. And Jinder's like, I speak English. I'm from Calgary.
Yeah, we're from the same place, man.
No, if you say Calgary and Quebec are the same place, people in Canada are going to have a riot.
It's Canada.
That's like saying New Jersey and California are the same place.
Technically, they are. They're both in the armpit of the world.
Everybody's got two armpits, except for people with one arm. All right.
Technically, it's just there.
How much arm do you need to have an armpit?
Well, because they usually lose it to like here, and like even if they go all the way to the socket, the armpit's still there.
But doesn't the armpit have to be under something? Like
because it's still a pit. It's dense in.
These are the hard-hitting conversations we have.
I'm going to Google that later.
I would like you to tell me across WWE or AEW or even New Japan, if you want to get spicy, just any bold predictions for champions. People are not expecting to hold gold this year, but will hold gold somewhere. Oh,
maybe not that. But Julia's winning that title within a month of her debut.
Oh, the NXT Women's North American title?
No. The NXT women's title. If you think she's not going to be the one to take the title off of Roxanne Perez when she debuts, you're crazy. I think she takes it immediately. I think it's like a Shinsuke Nakamura thing where he debuted at WrestleMania, and I think SummerSlam he won the title from Bobby Roode or whoever it was.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah. No.
No, no. They traded the title.
Yes. Yeah. He wins it from Samoa Joe. They traded the title, and then he loses the title to Bobby Roode. Okay. That's the way it goes. Yeah, I think she's going to take that title from Roxanne. Roxanne's probably going to get the call up later this year anyways. But Julia's going to do that. She's going to win really quickly. I think they're going to push her to the damn moon because they should. And as far as other places, what'd you say? What was the question again? I don't know. I just like
any surprise people you think winning titles, whether it is WWE, AEW, because I have one.
I don't know if we consider Chad Gable a surprise, but I could see Gable winning the IC belt.
I still think I'd like heel Chad Gable to win the title off of Sammy. This is one that actually you predicted their appearance here, which is the Final Testament going down to NXT. I think Authors of Pain could easily take the titles off of Nathan Fraser and Axiom. I think that's a real thing they might do.
I don't think that's a surprise, though. Like,
I don't know if it's just like former tag titles. Yeah. Like,
and they're big.
I think the surprise is that they're not very good. I mean, they're good wrestlers, but God, that group does nothing for me.
I mean, do you want to hear something that you're not going to like?
Sure.
I can see Karrion Kross taking the belt off of Trick Williams.
Get the fuck out of here.
I could see it.
I'm so mad at you right now. How dare you put that evil on me?
Don't you put
that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Is he a two-time NXT champion?
Hold on. I still have the list of NXT champions up. By the way, I was right. Nakamura takes it off of Joe.
Yes, Joe. And then they switch a bit and then he loses it to
Bobby. Cross is a two-time champ. Yeah. Because he took it off of Finn and he took it off of Keith Lee.
I could see it happening. Just saying. Yeah.
Hopefully
he goes bald, though.
We have talked about this. Let's have a little side conversation about Karrion Kross. Everything would be resolved if he was bald.
Yes. Go back to the buzz cut, brother. Keep the beard. I think the beard is better than the goatee used to have.
It's fine.
But just buzz cut it, brother.
You
have great hair. It just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. Your gimmick needs to be a bald guy.
Just does, man.
You need to look like younger Paul Ellering. All right?
So get a little tan going again. You had that nice little tan when you were down
there. Hang out with Scarlett at the beach. Get tan.
Yes.
Do it.
Unless you guys, I don't know. I think they might live in Chicago. So.
Okay, we'll go somewhere warm. Get some base layers.
You're in NXT now, brother. Performance Center.
Yeah, walk outside.
Do whatever Bron Breakker was doing for a while there.
Other surprise. I don't know. I pretty much no tag title is a surprise. Anybody could get the tag titles, I think.
AEW, I could see a surprise being like Jack Perry winning the TNT title or something like that.
When he's finally allowed back into the company.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up in the Elite, whatever version of the Elite is going on right now as the fourth member.
I can see that.
So I if you want the spoiler, I think a Dynasty is going to help the Bucks get the titles back. But I could see that happening. I could see a myriad of things. I could see like Kyle Fletcher maybe getting a little run somewhere. Maybe he gets he's the TV champion, right? In Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I can see him winning like an international title or something like that.
Like Roddy's title?
Yeah. You know, there's so much. I can see Will Ospreay winning that title too. I don't think they hotshot him straight to the main events either. There's a lot, man. There's wrestling is in a really, really good place right now, which I appreciate. And I could see pretty much, honestly, you could give me so many different names in either company, in any company, and I could just say, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's what's great about wrestling right now, for as shitty as circumstances are like going on right now, like, you know, injuries. There's a lot of people out injured right now who are really, really good. There's, you know, Tony Khan trying every conceivable way to make his company look worse. and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, the depth in pro wrestling, the industry.
Right. I'm just randomly on the WWE page. You tell me when to stop, and I'll tell you, I'll ask if you think this person can be a champion.
Do I have to, like, say a number?
No, you just tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Oh, well, I know what your answer is for this one. You think Pete Dunne could be a champion in WWE?
Are you kidding me? That man's going to win the Intercontinental Championship next week.
Give me another one. Tell me when.
Stop.
Jamie Hayter.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be the women's champion at some point.
Absolutely.
Dude. I can see her winning the women's title at All In. Who's the women's champion? It's Toni Storm?
Toni Storm.
Run that back at All In.
Mm-hmm. Run it back. I think it'll be great. All right. I have two more questions for you before we get out of here this week. One, you already brought up Julia. If somebody wanted an introduction to Julia, who debuted at NXT Stand and Deliver, which means you were in the same room as Julia.
If you think that I wasn't looking at her often while she was sat there.
I'm sure it came across on TV like during the show, but like Julia and William Regal also sat in the same place where Knuckles was like 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Which means that William Regal canonically either killed Knuckles or is Knuckles, which I think is great.
Voices Knuckles.
Julia is joining WWE. She's joining NXT. Yeah. For those who do not know about Julia, what are some matches they should watch that would be an introduction to the wizard that is Julia?
Well, for one, congratulations. You're about to witness.
Your life's about to be better.
Your life is about to be better. You're about to witness the greatest wrestler in the world, Cook. Julia's awesome. She's great. I'm not going to go into her history with the stables or anything like that. But her time in Japan, she was so good.
So good.
And, you know, there are plenty of matches. I prepped a little bit because you told me about this in advance. I didn't do much work. But, you know, she had a match against Tam Nakano, All-Star Dream Cinderella in 2021. That was really good. She had a match against Konami from Dream Queendom from the end of the year 2021. Mm-hmm. Mayu Iwatami, I think that's the fight that's the match that we saw.
We covered on our podcast, yeah.
The end of January in 2022. Hazuki, five-star Grand Prix, the opener at the end of July in 2022. Suzu Suzuki, five-star Grand Prix final. She had two matches that day, actually. So Suzu Suzuki and Tam Nakano repeat again on that one from October of 22. Siri, the Dream Queendom at the end of the year of 2022. And Suzu Suzuki again from Supreme Fight last year in February. Yeah. Really good stuff all around. You could pick anything. She had some, if you want to look a little bit more towards the earlier part of her career, she had a really good match against Hana Kimura.
Yes, don't remember the pay-per-view on that. Yeah.
It's on YouTube, I think. There's so much, man. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like, I mean that genuinely, male or female. Like her moveset bag is deep.
So deep. Real deep.
She can work stiff, she can work athletic, she can work technical, she's got great psychology. She's an incredible seller. She's got a very unique look. And just more than anything, like, she's a very charismatic promo in both Japanese and Italian. She's working on the English. We'll get there eventually, but, you know, it's a work in progress, but I think that she'll come far enough in that she could be a major star with WWE on the main roster. I hope they book her well, because I think this is the best signing that they've made since Io. And personally, okay. I love Io Shirai. I thought Io Shirai is one of the best, greatest wrestlers of all time as far as the women's side of things goes. I think as a prospect, Julia blows her out of the water.
Okay.
So
exciting stuff. I have one last question for you, which is, it's two part. Imagine wrestlers as stocks, right?
Ooh.
You have from April 2024 to April 2025. Who are you buying low on right now that's going to be a much higher, hotter commodity in a year? And who are you selling high on right now that's going to be in a worse position in a year?
Okay, well, I'm buying low now technically on Gunther because he just lost his title.
Yes, and he's going to go to the moon.
He's gonna go to the moon. He's going to be 100%. A world champion.
I'm still buying Tez stock. I'm still buying Montez Ford.
Yes.
Whenever they pull the trigger on it, it's going to be unbelievable.
Who's low right now? Does Bianca Belair technically count as low? She's not in the program.
She's not like low, but she's like, it's like, oh, this is a more affordable stock than I thought.
I think she's going to be one of the two main events of WrestleMania next year. Like,
yeah.
Because I think it's going to be her against Rhea for the world women's world title or whatever they call it. I'm going to buy low on Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
Miss Money in the Bank, hopefully, fingers crossed, this year. I'm buying low on Candice LeRae, too. I think heel Candice LeRae is going to do stuff.
I'm buying low on Tiffy.
Enjoy it.
It's got a bit of a premium on it, but I know it's still going to increase in value over the year.
The interest rate is not in your favor.
No.
As far as selling high.
Ooh. Miz.
Miz Truth.
Miz and Truth. Sadly. It's gonna not be the same a year from now.
Logan Paul.
Yeah, the shine could easily rub off.
Not just that. I don't know what he's... After he drops his belt, what's next for him? You know?
That's a great question. I genuinely don't know.
Selling high on Ray.
Yeah.
I think Ray's in a pretty high spot. Just won a match at WrestleMania. And I am going to sell high on... Ooh, that's...
Ready for my?
I
got a bold one. You get a bold one.
I'll go first because I it just came to mind and I'll forget it if I don't say it.
Okay.
I'm selling high on Jey Uso.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he really has proven himself as a legitimate main eventer, which I'm actually really excited about. But
I saw a tweet that really hit with me because I was like, oh, I agree with this so much. The Yeet thing has really pigeonholed him.
Yeah.
It's exploded. He's selling merch like crazy. There were so many Yeet shirts there
at WrestleMania
and chants at over the weekend. It was probably, I think Yeet was the chant we heard the most.
It was that or the LA Knight intro, yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I can't buy low on because he's not low. That guy's going to be pushed the moon over the next year. And he's already at a really high level. But Jey Uso, he's going to challenge Damian Priest. I believe he's the one that won that Fatal 4-Way.
He did.
He's going to lose. Yep. And then what? You know, he's not really going to be a part of this Bloodline story moving forward because the Bloodline story is not really going to be about Cody.
It's not about him, yeah.
Or it's not going to be about Cody post-SummerSlam. Then what do you do with Jey Uso? Because the current Intercontinental Champion is Sami Zayn, a babyface. The United States title, if he switches shows, that's going to LA Knight, brother. He's not going back to the tag team division because he's not going back with his brother, and putting him back in the tag team division after all the work you've done to make him a singles guy over the last few years
feels wrong.
Honestly, my thing with Jey is I could legitimately see 12 months from now Jey Uso being in NXT,
getting like a heat run.
Yeah.
Okay. I got two. One of them is Styles. I just don't know what they're going to do. Very similar. I just don't know where he really lands in the landscape.
I can see him being one of Cody's challengers.
He'll absolutely get a run at Cody. But within a year, I genuinely don't know what he's going to be up to. I just don't know what his direction is.
I can see him challenging both guys.
If he's got the new music.
If he goes the other way, I could see him in Punk having... If Punk wins the bout at any point during the next year, I could see him being one of Punk's programs, even though he hates Punk. Which is good. Maybe I'll stiff him.
Pele kick to the back of the head.
Yeah, I love AJ, but I do think that we've kind of reached the end of the AJ main event run. And now we're just in the AJ, let's have fun matches
run. AJ good hand run, yeah.
AJ good matches run, yeah.
And then this one bums me out because we talked about the booking for the Judgment Day earlier, and I think there is a world where after the Judgment Day breakup happens that Finn Balor gets lost in the shuffle, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's a route where he challenges Damian, he loses, the Judgment Day kind of, the rest of it as it exists drifts apart. Dom sticks with Rhea, I think, for X number of
time. I mean, if I'm Dom in real life, I am sticking as close to Rhea Ripley as I possibly can.
There's a world where in a year, Finn is tag teaming with JD.
And that sucks.
That sucks. And JD McDonough's fine, but to go from being Finn Balor to that, there's a real possibility. And
saw his head coming before he did when he did his little interference.
JD McDonough, spot. A sniper's wet dream. Just so much real
Nothing
estate.
Nothing but headshots, baby.
Boom, headshot. All right, so next week, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled programming. We are going to be covering the career of the Wild Samoans as the Bloodline storyline kind of starts to go into its final chapters. We're looking at the Wild Samoans and their work in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. It's going to be exciting stuff.
Shout out to Afa. Shout out to Sika. Cannot wait to see where this all comes from.
Yes. Where did it all begin? You should follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. You should follow us here on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Hit like on the videos. We also have some other cool videos coming out. We're going to be doing some interviews coming up shortly. Javier is revealing from underneath his Snuggie, the Crossbody of Work merch.
Yeah, honestly, I forgot I had the Snuggie on still.
You can get the merch in the link below or in the link of the podcast show notes. Get the hats, get the sweaters, get the t-shirts, get all that good stuff. Get a tote bag. We got tote bags.
Get it all.
We have lots of cool stuff coming for you. We are changing our release schedule a little bit. You will have seen that this episode came out early, like the overnight between Sunday and Monday. We're going to be dropping our podcast episodes now, so they're ready for you first thing Monday morning, because we've seen from our downloads most people don't listen to these till Monday anyways. So if you're one of our weekend warriors, we appreciate you. You can get in on Sundays or on Sunday nights into Monday now. And for all of our YouTube videos, they're now going to go live on Thursdays.
Yes. Now, did we do this because of metrics? Kind of. We're also doing it because it kind of gives us more flexibility to record.
It gives us a little bit more time, so we're not completely time crunched. Because I got sick coming out of Philly. My throat hurts now that I've recorded for about an hour. But, you know, it gives us the flexibility when things change. Also,
you got the Philly flu. I'm fine. My ass just kind of hurt from driving.
You were also
hours.
Sick going into Mania. So then I got sick coming out of Mania.
There was no overlap in those two things.
There was no overlap in even what the sickness was. We got Take a Card, Make a Card, our most stressful series. It'll be up there. We've got Crossbody Corrections coming up. We've got interviews. We've got lots of cool content ideas coming soon. We might be going to the movies to review some wrestling movies soon. Lots of cool stuff coming your way. Javier, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Any final words for the people?
All right. So speaking about our trip to Philadelphia... My life advice
is it about crab fries?
Ooh, no, but it should be. Those were very good, especially with the cheese sauce. It's great. It's their crinkle cut fries with Old Bay sauce on them for Old Bay seasoning on them for those who are unaware of what crab fries are. The thing that my life advice this week is, we, as everyone here probably knows, there was a solar eclipse on Monday.
Sure was.
And I couldn't see it because I was driving back from Philadelphia at the times that the thing was up in the sky. But at one point, you know, I shook free of some cars, went down, you know, there was a straightaway ahead. It was clear. So I decided, you know what? It's a little bit off the corner of my vision. Let me just take a quick glance at it. And I took a quick glance at it for all of like 0.6 seconds and my eyes hurt. So my life advice this week, do not look at the sun during a solar eclipse for any reason whatsoever. I went to do it. I did it for points. It was literally, I just wanted to take a quick little peek, see what it looked like. That quick little peek hurt. So
you told me this
glasses.
You told me this before we started recording and I fucking died because I love the idea of just like, you know what? Maybe if I just like peek at the sun a little bit, it won't hurt that much.
And you kind of do a little... I didn't even think about the fact that it's bad for you. I just wanted to see what it looked like. So I was just like, I was on a straightaway. For those watching on YouTube, I'm about to recreate exactly how it was.
Perfect. I'm excited.
Right? Yep. I'm driving and I'm on the straight. So I get around the car. Boop, boop. I'm back. I'm here on a straightaway. It's literally straight. I'm holding the wheels as straight as I can. And I just go. Like, I'm going to even make the face for how I reacted from the sting. I was like.
Oh, what a heel turn by the sun.
It hurt. The sun and the moon needed to come together in order to defeat me. And for that alone, I am a mega baby face. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. It took the same as it took to defeat Roman Reigns.
It took the natural powers of the universe to come get me.
Typhoon and earthquake. Do you remember when you were in like elementary school and you heard for the first time the sun's going to explode one day and you went home and like contemplated death?
No.
Oh, all right. So you weren't a weird kid? That's good to know.
The sun explodes like every day, man.
No. But like the one day, because I remember being told in like grade like 3 that one day the sun's going to like burn out. And I was like, well, what if I'm still here? And they're like, it'll be 4 billion years from now. I'm like, yeah, I don't plan on dying. So what are we going to do now?
Here's my thing. I've always been one of those people that's like, you know, if at some point like the fallout thing happens where we could just like freeze each other,
yeah,
for whatever reason and like extend our lifespans through some sort of thing, I was always like, yeah, I'm good. Like I could be like 7 years old, I would be like, I'm good.
Javier was over this shit immediately.
I'll play it out.
And now he's seen WrestleMania and seen an eclipse. He is good to go.
And the kid's going to Italy in a month. That's true.
I forgot. You're going to Italy. All right. We'll get out of here. Thank you so much for listening this week as we broke down what we think is going to happen in the world of wrestling in 2024. We'll be back next week. We're going to be talking wild Samoan. We'll talk to you then.